Larry Fife, our minister, he's out. He's with our youth group in Tennessee. And again, keep them in prayers. I'd like to thank you all for this opportunity to present today's message to you. And I hope that's encouraging. If you're a visitor here at the Church of Christ, just keep in mind that our worship is simple. As you can see, we sing, we pray, we do the Lord's Supper, we give, and we give a message. So it's very simple. So if you have any questions in regards to the lesson and to how to become a member of the Lord's church, please ask somebody. And our overall goal here is to make sure that we're worshiping God in spirit and truth. Because we know in John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and he likes for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's commanded of us. Before I give a lesson, I could just do a brief prayer and just bring our thoughts and minds together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before you in prayer, we come to say thank you, dear Lord God, for this opportunity to present before the congregation and visitors. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this message is delivered in spirit and truth, Lord, and that it edifies and encourages the body, Lord, and that we will live for you, Lord, and not according to the world, but according to you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, my topic is on the importance of loving God in this postmodern world. Having the courage to continue to speak God's truth, regardless of what the world says is truth. And so my question is, what is a postmodern mindset? It's basically after modernism. And the thought is, there is no absolute truth. My truth is my truth is your truth. And as long as we agree upon that, everything is okay. Basically, it ignores God's truth. It lends to the thought that, you know, if you have a lemon, it may not be a lemon. It can be an orange or an apple if you say it is. If you have an apple, it could be a peach or a plum if you say that it is. And that kind of thinking is basically confusing. You know, I asked my Wednesday night class what they thought of this postmodernism, and they said it's confusing. It's without purpose. And you can't strive. You can't meet your goals. And it's tough to unify, basically ignoring God's truth. And it makes everything basically confusing. You know, God created everything upright, and man went about creating sin. Well, along the same lines of me asking my high school class about postmodernism, I was talking to my wife this morning, and she was saying that in some of the kindergartens and some of the elementary school, kids are confused in terms of, where do I go to the bathroom? Little boys and girls have got to the point to where they're undecided on where to go. Also on the internet, I was reading this morning that there was a young lady who's trying to identify as a boy. She's changing herself, taking testosterone. She's won 56 wrestling matches and has won the state title in Texas because she's taken testosterone. And when we get to this kind of thinking of forgetting of who we are, it can lead to a lot of challenges. And it's important for us to encourage our children to know that they are made in the image of God, and they should be thankful for that and know that God created them perfect in who they are. So, what is the impact of this kind of thinking on Christians? What happens when we compromise our faith? What happens when we compromise our purpose and understanding who we are? Well, we can become lukewarm, and then we might tend to settle versus striving for what is right. If we ever get to the point to where we're settling and looking for a comfort zone and not standing up for what is right, it actually displeases God. Remember in Revelations when God told the church of Laodicea that he's going to spit them out, becomes a lukewarm. So we want to make sure that this postmodern mindset does not cause us to become lukewarm and put our souls in danger. You know, this postmodern mindset, it really isn't new. It was happening back in Noah's time. Remember Noah? He built the ark. I mean, he spent 100 years preaching and teaching. And God said, I repenteth, I made man, right? Because every thought was evil. And when they entered the boat, only 8 souls were saved. So even at that time, there was people who were thinking things that are not in line with God. Even John the Baptist, during his time, he stood up, he was courageous, and told Herod that the woman you have is not your wife, that's your brother's wife. And he lost his life for it, but he stood up. So that kind of thinking has been going on for a long time. Let's look at Isaiah's time. Isaiah 5:20, he kind of references it to being wise in our own eyes. Listen to Isaiah 5:20. So woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is where the postmodern mindset takes us. It makes us wise in our own eyes, in our own sight. We think we have a righteousness, but it's not God's righteousness. We think we have knowledge and truth, but it's our own knowledge and truth and not God's. And that's dangerous because a man might think that things are right, but in a way it leads to destruction. So we got to make sure that what we say and do does square with the scriptures, and that's what God has given us. So we can see what it leads to. If you turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5, you can kind of see the pattern of what's happening in this world when we start being wise in our own eyes. It tends to lend itself to selfishness and thinking of our own interests, not God's, not each other's. And so it's important for us to stand up to it in love, of course. Speak the truth in love, according to Ephesians 4. Speak the truth in love, but watch out for these kind of behaviors that we're about to read in 2 Timothy so that we can direct people to what is true so that they can have a good quality of life as well. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5. As you read with me, you'll notice that it's peerless times and peerless men. It says, but know this, that in the last days, peerless times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And for such people, turn away. Turn away from the lifestyle. Turn away from the behavior, but go towards them in terms of sharing God's truth with them, because we are commanded to share God's truth. We're commanded to share the gospel and to love our neighbor, but just recognize the behaviors when we tend to lend ourselves to this postmodern mindset. It lends itself to selfishness and thinking of self versus God and others. Well, where does this selfishness come from? Where does this thinking that leads to sin come from? Well, ultimately, it comes from Satan. We read in Revelations 12:8-9, that there was a great war. Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels, and Satan lost. And where did he go? Well, he was cast down to the earth because there's no place for him in heaven, right? He was cast down to the earth, right? And we read in Genesis, you know, God, that's where the creation takes place, right? He created the earth, the stars, the moon, and then eventually man was created, Adam and Eve was created, and God told Adam and Eve, you can eat of anything in the garden except for the tree that's in the middle, the tree of good and evil. And Eve went over there and started talking with Satan, and you know what happens from there. She says, God told us not to eat of it, or you shall surely die. And Satan changed one word. He says, no, you shall surely not die. So he's here to deceive. He's still here to deceive. And we have to be aware of his schemes, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, the way he words things, the way he deceives us. And he's trying to get us to conform to the world. But we have to remember as Christians, you know, we are the living sacrifices. And we're not to conform to the world, but we have our minds transformed by renewing it, right? So we can test and prove that is good and perfect will of God. And being in his word. So we got to continue to be in his word because that's where our faith grows, right? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We have to always be in it and believing it so that as we hear the postmodern type of mindset and thinking to transform us, we don't do it. We stick to what is truth. And sometimes we fail, and when we do, well, according to James 1:14, it comes from our own desires, our own interests. We all know what our weaknesses are, so we have to master them. Just like Cain, God said, you got to master sin, otherwise it's going to make you fall. We have to master those things that cause us to stumble. You know, in James 1:14, it says, when we look at 15, actually, when you give in to those desires, it gives birth to sin. And sin gives birth to death. Death to what? It can be death to our souls, but even before that, death to relationships with our wives, our children, and school, maybe at work. Death to anything that you're trying to accomplish. Sin destroys things. And we don't want to let sin be a part of our lives. But it does start with our desire. And Satan puts those things before us to try to make us fall. And then hardness of the heart comes. Let's look at John 3:19 and see what happens when our hearts get hard and we want to dwell in the darkness and not look at the light, which is Jesus Christ. You start to defend it and not look at what is truth. John 3:19. Okay, you guys have that? John 3:19. Let's read 19 and 20. It says, "For this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world." We know that Jesus Christ is a light. "And men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest the deeds should be exposed." The light exposes darkness. So therefore, the darkness and those practice darkness do not want you around them. They don't want you speaking the truth. They want you to conform to the world so that they can love you and accept you. But there's consequences to that, right? We know in what Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. We can't work towards death. We can't walk towards death looking for hope, because it's not there. We have to walk to the light, because that's where our path of righteousness is through Jesus Christ, right? And so we all know that if we live that life of selfishness, James 3:16, selfishness and envy, everything is evil is there. And that's opposite of John 3:16, right? So Philippians 2, you know, we have to think of others' interests, like Christ's interests, not just our own. I mean, even Jesus Christ, I mean, he left heaven, came here to earth, and he became a bondservant. And then he died on the cross for us. He loved us that much. And so he looked at others' interests. He looked at God's interests, and he looks at our interests. And that's what's going to help us in this postmodern world. So how do we keep the commitment, though, to Christ? When we know that this is what the world is trying to shape us into, how do we keep the commitment? How do we continue to grow in love in Christ in this world of anything goes? Well, when you look at John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Our commitment has to be to Christ always. If you love me, keep my commandments. And John 8:31, it says, "If we abide in his word, then you truly are his disciples indeed." Indeed. Indeed means in action. We're truly his disciples and we're doing what he says. And so keeping his commitment is important. Recognizing what he did for us, you know, Romans 5:8, while we're still sinners, he died for us. He died for us so that we'll have an opportunity to go to heaven. And so we have to keep hold of those things and not conform. You know, and remember our purpose. You know, in Ephesians 2:8-10, it says that you are saved by grace. You know, it's not our works, it's by grace. But God created for us to do good works. That's what we're created, to do good works, to do his will, to edify, encourage each other, to preach the gospel. We have to do all those things and keep striving towards the mark despite what the world says and does, and even what it does to us. You know, we have to remember that we are Jesus, we're the body of Christ here on this earth. You know, Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus is the head, right? And the church is the body. Well, we are Jesus' body on earth. We're his hands, his feet, we're his eyes. We're his mouthpiece. We have to speak the truth and love about his gospel and the kingdom, right? And we can't be afraid of that, because that's what Satan wants. If we're afraid of it, then the truth doesn't get out and then people can't be saved. You know, we have to look at, you know, what we are as priests. In the Old Testament, the priests, they conducted the worship and they did sacrifices, right? Well, when you become a member of the Church of Christ, you become part of God's family, his holy priesthood. Each person makes up the house of God. Each person that's a Christian is a stone, right? And those stones make up the church. Jesus is the foundation. And then as a church, we worship and we give praise, right? And we let the world see who we are through our worship. Turn to 1 Peter 2:4-5. 1 Peter 2:4-5. Verse 4 says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious." That's Jesus. Now here's us. "And you also, a living stone, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus." That's us. That's what we do. Each one of us in the Lord's church is a stone that makes up the church. Not churches, the church, the body of Christ, right? And we're supposed to give these spiritual sacrifices, and we're priests, and we worship in spirit and in truth based on the scriptures. We're not supposed to go beyond what is written, okay? There's dangers in that. Look at verse 2:9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We all have sinned, according to Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. Even if you were born in a Church of Christ family, you still have committed sin. Because the only way you can be added is to repent and get baptized. You know, I was not a member of the Lord's church. I was a part of a Catholic faith. And when I started asking questions, they could not use the Bible to show me why I was of that faith. And so I thank God for my wife that she led me to the Lord's church and helped me be able to learn the gospel so that I can see how I become a Christian based on what is written. So I obeyed the scriptures. Okay, and that's what the Church of Christ does. It goes out and teaches the truth. You know, because when we look at Romans 1:16, the gospel is a power to salvation, right? For the Jews first, but also for the Gentiles. And we can't be ashamed of it because God says, you know what, that's how he adds to the church. And it's a command, a great commandment, you know, great commission, sorry. We got to go out and teach and make disciples and preach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he says, lo, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the age. Jesus will be with us as we go and confess. And we got to love each other too, you know. Love God with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength. Love our neighbors, ourself, right? And then even in the church, you know, you go to Galatians 6:2, we have to bear each other's burdens in Christ. Bear each other's burdens in Christ. So if I have a burden, let's say Brother Hall has a burden and he helps me out and I help him out and you see, Brother Bill has a burden. He helps me out. I help him out. You know, God can lift us both up. We got to lift each other up and encourage each other. You know, that we've got to take care of the body, the family of faith. In Galatians 6, 9, and 10, it says, of course, do good to all, but it says especially to the family of believers. That's Galatians 6, 9, and 10, especially to the family of believers. So we have to take care of each other first and mostly. Take care of others, but let's not forget each other. And I think that's one awesome thing about our congregation is we do an amazing job of taking care of each other. When someone's sick, there's a food list, there's prayers, people visit. You know, so our congregation is strong and it's amazing that. And I'm really thankful to be a part of this congregation. But the hard part, though, is how do we stay faithful, though? I mean, we're in this world. We know that in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, anyone that wishes to live a godly life will be persecuted. If you're in Christ and you're living for Christ, you're going to be persecuted. And because we're flesh, it doesn't feel good. But what's the benefits of that? Well, we know in James 1 that when our faith is tested, we grow. We grow and we grow. So therefore, we can deal with it. And then we look at the examples, right? We have to look at the examples. 1 Peter 2:21 says, Jesus, he suffered here. He suffered, right? But as he suffered, he said he left an example for us and how to handle it. And we must follow in his steps. So we have to look to the Bible. You know, Brother Mitch talked about heroes in the Bible on Wednesday, and that was very helpful because it helps me reflect and go back. Okay, I got to look at the Bible heroes. Jesus is the first one. He's the example. You know, we have to look at, you know, you look at Apostle Paul. Well, what happened with him? I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. And he kind of bragged about those things. But the thing he pleaded to God most about was his thorn. He pleaded to God three times to remove this thorn from his side, right? And God said, nope. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's awesome. So you know what? Our weakness is not God's weakness. So we can be weak, but we can be amazingly strong as long as we're trusting in the Lord. And you can read about that. And let me see, I got a little off track here. 2 Corinthians. Got a little talk here. Okay, there we go. 2 Corinthians 12:9. There it goes. And then lastly, Job. You know, he's amazing. I mean, Job's amazing. I mean, God told Satan, have you tested my servant Job? Have you tested my servant Job? And then Satan went and he nearly took his life. You know, took all his possessions, made him sick to the point of death, and then even his wife, unfortunately, said, curse God and die. You know what Job said in Job 13:15? Says, though God slay me, I still trust him. So we got to look at these examples as we walk and go through our challenges to strengthen us, right? So how do we do that? Well, we got to have a bold faith. We got to have an active faith. Bold in the standpoint that when we are trusting God, that we don't shrink back. Look at John 12:42 and 43. John 12, if I spoke fast, John 12, 42, 43. John 12, verse 42, 43. Listen to this. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, and because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So again, you know, Larry was encouraging us to be faithful, be strong, right? We can't shrink back. We can't compromise our faith to be comfortable when we know that something is wrong. We got to stand up and confess Christ. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I mean, they were very, very strong. They told King Nebuchadnezzar that even if you throw us in the fire, we're still not going to bow down to you. We're not. And so they got thrown into the fire. And who was in there with them? Son of Man. God was there. Jesus was with them. So sometimes being in the fire is the best place. Because remember, Jesus' strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so sometimes that's a good place to be. So let's be courageous, stand up, and not let postmodernism or the shaping of the world conform us and not allow us to speak God's truth. Because, you know, life is a vapor. We're only here but for a moment, and Christ is coming back. And he's going to deliver his church, you know, to God. He's going to deliver his church to God. So bold in our faith, active in our faith. Turn to 1 Peter 2:12. I think this is so important because even though we think we may not having impact, we still are having impact because remember, anything you do for Christ and in Christ, it doesn't turn back void. So that's 1 Peter 2:12. Look what happens when you just stay faithful in your faith. It's having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. So just keep doing the goodness. Let your works show that you love God. Let your deeds and your actions just come together, right? And then we got to continue hearing the truth, as we talked about, because that's how our faith grows. We have to believe in God, because that's where rewards are, right? Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but those who come to him and believe, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So as we diligently seek God in everything that we do, there's blessings on the back end. There's blessings on the back end. Remember, we talked about Job? I mean, he said, though God slay me, I'm still going to trust him. And then at the back end, he got, what, a 3-4-fold blessing? He had the most beautiful daughters in all the world. You know, so God takes care of us. He blesses us big time. Right? Okay. All right. So, a couple things just to think about. We know we're going to go through things. We got to stay faithful and trust God. You know, in that faith, you know, going back, looking at those who suffered in the past, you know, we have to rely on that and trust that so that we can continue to move forward. Also looking at James 5, 10, 11, looks like the prophets who were patient but suffered, but we're blessed. You look at James 5, 10 and 11. James 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering patiently." And I mentioned Job earlier. "And indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So God is compassionate and merciful to us. He knows what we're going through. But remember, it's just going to make us stronger. And remember, God will never, ever let us go through things that are beyond what we can control. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, it talks about, you know, we'll never be tempted beyond what we control. And he always provides a way out. So we can stand up. We can be courageous. You know, we can have confidence in the word. You know, wear our spiritual weapons that we talk about. You know, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. The word, right? And the word is a sword. And Hebrews says that sword is a double-edged sword. It pierces minds and souls and marrow and thoughts and conscience. That word is very, very powerful, including the name of Jesus Christ. And so just remember what Jesus did for us. And Romans 8, 38, 39 just shows just the love that he has for us and that he'll never, ever leave us, forsake us, height nor depth. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. And In closing, I want to just read one other passage, and because it reminds me of our congregation. It really does. You know, we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. You know, we preach the word. We do Bible studies, and it's just so neat to see our family come together and take care of each other when we need to. And in this passage here, it's Matthew 25, 31 through 40, it's talking about the judgment and who's going to be on God's right side and left side. He's talking about the sheep and the goat. And I like to ask you to think about these things as we look at this postmodern world and as it's tough to live in. Just be faithful. Teach Christ, confess Christ, take care of the family and believers, and reach out. But turn your Bibles to Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And let's make sure that we're doing this, because these are the folks who are going to be on God's right side. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a sheep separates and divides the sheep from the goats. And he'll set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you thirsty and feed you, and thirsty and give you to drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, as much as you did to one of these, did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. So what I get from that passage is we've got to continue to love God. We've got to love the body. We've got to continue serving, right? We're going to still confess Christ and teach, but let's keep taking care of each other and keep our minds on the big picture, because what we do today really impacts what happens in the future going to heaven. So how we live right now is not just for now. It is what we do to get in heaven, okay? So God loves us, sent Jesus to die for us. He wants us to repent of our sins. And if anybody is in a study or needs to come up and repent, if someone wants to put on Christ, we know in Acts 2:36-38, when Peter was preaching, the hearts were pricked, and they asked, what shall we do to be saved? He said, repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and he'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this is for you and your children. So if you have a need, please come up. Our closing song is 4:57.